Good evening, Living Word Ministries. It's so good to see you tonight, either here on location or through Facebook. Hello, Susan. Glad you're joining us again tonight. There's your beautiful sister.
What up, girl?
Right there. She said, what up, girl? So we're glad you're with us. We're going to get started tonight. Got a message plan called He Can Do It. And how many know God can do it? Amen. No matter what it is, no matter how possible it seems, God can do it. I think we're learning that through this whole ordeal of trusting God for everything, all of our needs, and just to get us through everything. And so He can do it, and He's going to continue to do it. So I'm excited to share that message tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to remember Mindy. She'll be having surgery tomorrow. She's having some kidney stone issues. Be having surgery tomorrow. So let's keep Mindy in our prayers. And Teresa texted me back today, and she's just really, really battling right now. Just pray for her as well. Like I said, Sunday, everybody right now is alone in these hospitals and nursing homes, not allowing anybody to see them, even spouses. And that just really works on your mental health as well. And so we want to pray for Teresa. And we know who's in control, and we trust that. So let's pray tonight for our service and for our church people. Father, we just lift your name on high as always. We give you all honor and all praise for being Lord and Savior. We thank you for this place here that we can worship. We thank you, Lord, that you have raised this place up for your purpose. And we are thankful. We pray for Mindy, God. We lift her up as she faces surgery tomorrow. Give her peace to sleep tonight. Give her rest in the morning. Let her know she's in your hands, God, and bring her through this surgery completely whole and completely well. For Teresa, Lord, as she's laying there at the hospital just all alone, day after day, week after week right now, God, strengthen her and encourage her. Fill her room with hope that she needs desperately right now in her life. A hope and a joy, God. Restore to her the joy of her salvation. Restore to her body the healing that she needs. Flood her mind with thoughts of you and good things from above that will give her her daily bread every day that she's there. Bless this service and bless this word as we go into worship tonight. We give you honor, praise, and glory in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Aunt Barbara is watching. Hey, Aunt Barbara, we love you very much. And we know God is definitely doing something in your life. And we're excited to see the end result of that. So those of you with us tonight, let's stand up. And you know this song. It is Amazing Grace. So y'all sing along from home too.
Grace appear.
His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. I search for peace among the shadows, dark and lonely, and I gave up on finding the strong
seated tonight. Me and Melon's going to do one more song that's on my heart tonight to do. Not done this in a long time. Probably a little bit bigger. Thanks. But this song is called 4 Days Late. And with the message tonight, if he can do it, I thought it would be a good song to introduce the message, because it's never too late for God. We serve a God who has a kingdom far above this kingdom. And we know God can do miracles, and I trust that. And so listen to the words of this song. You may be going through something tonight, thinking God's not hearing you, God's not came your way, God's not passed by. Just wait, because He is an on-time God, and He is going to make a way for you. Listen to the words of this song. The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick. Without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over. Buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll be here soon. The Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But His way is God's way, not yours or mine. Isn't it great when He's 4 days late, He's still on time. Jesus said, Martha, I want you to show me that grave. But she says, Lord, you don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive. You may be fighting, this may be you tonight listening, a battle of fear. Everybody's afraid right now. You cry to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not yet appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged, because my God's still the same, yes. He'll roll back that stone,
he'll roll
back that stone, and he's going to call you by name. Oh, yes, he is. His name. And all hope seems gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. His way is God's way, not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Oh, isn't it great? When he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Yeah, I love that song. What a message, huh? We somehow think that God has missed his cue, or he's missed the spot he's supposed to step into our lives and change things. And God knew exactly what he was doing. Lazarus died on purpose, and he was supposed to be raised the way he was. Jesus could have spoke the word where he was and kept him from dying. That's who he was. But it was all for a purpose. And so trust the purpose of God, even when you can't see it. So I know I messed up on that song a little bit there at the end, so I apologize for that. But I love that song. It has a great message to it. John chapter 6 tonight. We're going to be in John 6. Are my eyeglasses over there, Brandon, laying somewhere? Because I just had them earlier. Might be in my office. Thank you, honey, if you can get those for me. Sorry. We're going to talk about he can do it. So I want everybody to say he can do it. Yes, he can. Did y'all say that at home? He can do it? I hope you did, because he can do it. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's God. And the more as a Christian that I live my life, the older that I get, the more I depend on him and trust him that he can do it. Because I've seen him work over and over and over in my life. We tend to get our problems solved by our means and by our measures and by our abilities, instead of trusting God. God, this is your kingdom. You're God. You can do whatever you want. We see miracle after miracle in the Bible, and those miracles haven't stopped. We still see God providing for us, keeping us, protecting us, healing us. God is still in the God business. And I'm thankful for that. And he can do whatever you need him to be. And we're going to read another story of faith, bless you. We're going to read another story of faith tonight about another miracle of where God stepped in, thank you, where it seemed impossible, and he made a way. Because that's what God does. Because he is the way, right? So he makes a way. So let's read this story. Most of you will recognize that we get reading into this. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of, Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. They had different names for it. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? question mark. He's asking a question to Philip. Now, God already knew what he's going to do. He's asking it to prove his point of what he's going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. Now, why would he be care about feeding them natural food? It is toward the end of the day. This mass crowd was out there. They'd been gone all day, and they had a journey back to the house. And so Jesus wanted to feed these people and fill their natural hunger. So he's asking Philip, where at this time and this place can we get bread that they may eat? In verse 6, Jesus says, or this is how he feels, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered and says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, I did a little studying on this amount of people that were there, because the Bible says there were 5,000 men. Some people estimate there could have been 15,000 to 20,000 total people, because that's only counting the men, not counting the women and the children. And you do some studying on this, it would have took about a half a year's salary to feed this many people. It would have took a lot. And so they have all this mass crowd. How are they going to get food to them? Philip, verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, Brenda, and but what are they among so many? So they find this little boy's lunch, something that maybe Peyton could have had. 5 little fishes. And these weren't big catfishes. They weren't big bass. These were more like sardines. 5 little fish, 2 loaves of bread, enough to feed maybe a little boy for a snack or a lunch. He says, Lord, this isn't enough. Can you imagine God's response? Watch this. Oh, yeah, it's enough, because I'm enough. We must place our faith in the one who created everything we see and everything we have. All of our resource comes from him. All of our blessings come from him. All of our needs being met come from him. Every door open comes from him. Every moment of protection and provision comes from God. And when we realize that as his people, we will learn to trust him in all of our ways. That when times get rough, he is still king. When I don't see in the bank account, he can still put it there. When I don't feel it in my body, he can still heal me. When there seems no way out, God says, watch this. All you've got to do is trust what I can take and what I can do with who I am and what I have. And I can make a way where there seems to be no way at all. There's not any food there except a little tiny bit. And look what Jesus said. He says, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. This reminds me of the story, right, of the prophet Elijah, who went to the woman, had a little bit of oil, and says, go borrow a lot of vessels. Don't borrow a few, borrow as many as you can find. And when you get back to your house, close the door and begin to pour that little oil into each empty vase. You remember that story? And as the prophet poured that little bit of oil, every vase she brought was filled to the top, because this widow woman was trusting the provision of God and not the limitation of what she had. Here we see 5 little fish, 2 pieces of bread that was more than enough, it says, all got enough of what they needed. How did this happen? How possibly could you take this one meal and feed thousands and thousands of people? Because God did this. God blew upon this, and God increased what wasn't there before. God took something that wasn't enough and made it more than enough, because that's who he is. And we need to trust our king, that he is our king. And our king don't run out. Our king don't wear out.
Our King has more than enough of whatever we need in our lives. He is never short on supply. He is never out of stock. It's never a warehouse out. It's never I got some on order. He's always got in his arsenal everything we could possibly need. If you need joy and peace and strength tonight, call up on the Lord and say, Lord, from you I open my hands and fill me with more than enough because I know that you got it. Hallelujah. And he does have it. Here, thousands were fed by one meal because God was involved in the process. When we allow God to be involved in our process, God does things we can't do. We have seen through our life the hand of God blessing us in bad times and good times. We've seen God protecting us. We've seen God going before us. We've seen God make sure that our bills are paid and that we're okay. We've seen God, like the song Melanie sings, where it says, he woke me up this morning and I walked across in my right mind and I put my clothes on and I had all of this because he has been so good to me, so you would know how good God's been to me. And I think we fail to realize, and I'm going to tell you something, and this so, and this, I see this, and many of you watching and don't maybe see this, but if we would trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as much as we do what we see on our TV channels, we would not walk in the bondage of fear. We would walk in the power of the Holy Ghost because that's who we serve. I serve a King that's over every sickness and every disease and every lie and everything that will try to harm me because I've got angels that go before me and I've got angels behind me and I've got angels guarding me. I've got angels leading me. I am covered by the army. The God of angel army is all around me and that's who I trust. Hallelujah. We spend our days and we post everything negative. We post every bad story we can find. Let's try posting something that matters. Let's post a story that changes lives and gets people set free from the bondage of fear that they're in. And let them know, I serve a King who knows me by my name. My name's the Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing in this world can take that away. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm heading. He's brought me out, and he's carrying me on. And there can't nothing stop that. Hallelujah. We need to listen to the good news. That's why the gospel is called the good news. We want to focus on all the stats and facts of everything that's wrong in our country and wrong in America and wrong with this. Let's focus on the truth that no matter what happens, I'm in the hands of God, and that I trust and that I believe. Hallelujah. So here, all these disciples, all these people are fed. And look at verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. How could there be leftovers of something that wasn't even enough of? Because that's what God does. God multiplies. We read the story a few weeks ago about Peter when he'd been fishing all night long, hadn't caught nothing. He went back to shore. He was already cleaning his nets and cleaning his boat, putting everything up. That's a lot of hard work. He's done for the night. Been out all night trying to bring money in for his family and had no success. And then Jesus says, launch out. I want to talk to these folks, okay? So he talked to them, and he says, launch out a little deeper now and drop your nets. He said, Master, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. Master, we've worked hard all night long, and nothing's happened. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it. And when he dropped those nets, all of a sudden, they were so filled with fishes, the boat began to sink. You ever had a boat sink on you? You had so many fish? I mean, that's a lot of fish. They had to call for help. The other boat came. It began to almost sink. God multiplied what wasn't there before because his word activates change. His word takes something and it makes it different than it was before when he speaks to it. Everything has to obey the command of God. I've said it before. The wind don't blow and the bird don't chirp and the snake don't crawl and we don't wake up unless God tells us, walk, talk, speak, and see who I am. Nothing in this world moves without the hand of God. And that's what I trust more than anything else. We can live our lives in fear, or we can live our lives in faith. And I'm wondering how much of a price that people are willing to make to change their lives forever. I'm not willing to make that change. I'm trusting the Lord in everything that I do, and I'm following Him, and I'm listening to His voice, and I'm like, God, I hear You, and I'm trusting You, and my eyes are on You. It's not on that. We should not look to the left or look to the right. We should look straight ahead where God is leading us and trust that He is making a path for us, clearing it for us. These disciples had leftovers. They gathered them up. And verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I want you to picture this. One little boy's lunch. A little 10-year-old boy's lunch fed up to 12, 15, maybe 20,000 people, and they had leftovers in a basket for the disciples to take home with them, because God changed their circumstance. And God can change your circumstance, because God can do it. He can do it. And that's who I trust. God, You can do it. It's not changed yet. It's okay. You can do it. Lazarus died. Didn't matter to God. He raised him right up. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38, 40 years old, never walked in his life. Don't matter. God can do it. The widow woman, they took her sons, put them into slavery to pay off the debt, getting ready to take them off. God stepped in, and God changed it. Remember what He did there? Not only was I able to pay their debts, the widow woman, the Bible says she was to live on the rest of it, the rest of her life. God not only paid her debts, but gave her an IRA to take care of her the rest of her life. Hallelujah. Because God can do it. God took Joseph out of a prison cell who was innocent of all charges, and he sat there for 2 years because he did the right thing. And that seems so unfair. Here is Joseph. As Potiphar's wife came on to him, Joseph refused her. She lied upon him, scandalized his name, and got him tossed in prison. And for 2 years, he sat there as an innocent, godly man. But one day, something happened. One day, God showed up. One day, his fish and barley expanded and blew out of the water, and he came from the prison cell and went from a prisoner to a prince. He went from a convict to a commander. That's what God can do. Hallelujah. God can do it, and He can do it in your life. But we must trust Him and know who He is. We have to spend time with our Creator, knowing our relationship with Him and what God is able to do. God, I know You. I talk to You. I sing unto You. I pray to You. I meditate on You. God, I know You. And once you really know God, how can we possibly walk in fear and panic, knowing, God, You have got me and I'm Yours? We can't act surprised when things change. Man, the world's changing. I mean, the world's a lot different than it was back at the old, back in the 50s and 60s, the old Big Rebel. Things are a lot different from old JC's Toot and Tell 'em. Ain't that right, Mom? Things have changed a lot. We went from roller skates and on the curb to a whole different world. And God has been in every generation. And God's been in every season. Because God doesn't change not. We have went through wars in our lifetime. We went through battles in our lifetime. We went through our country being divided over and over in our lifetime. We went through political attacks in our lifetime. We've seen things happen. But God is involved with it all. And God knows all. And I'm serving Him, not that. I'm in His kingdom, not this kingdom. Yes, I'm born here. And yes, I'm a citizen here on the earth. But I'm more a citizen in His kingdom. Because when this earth dissolves, when I leave this earth, I've got somewhere I'm going called home, which is my forever home. We talk about that in life, right? Is this your forever home? Or are you going to move again? Is this your forever home? We know where our forever home is. Our forever home is with the Lord in His kingdom. And I trust Him because He can do it. Something else God did for us is He gave His life that we would have this forever home. He did that for us. He went to a cross and He endured that. He paid the price that we would be free from our sins, that there would be no judgment or lien of judgment against our lives or our souls. But that lien of judgment that was against us was removed by the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that He nailed all of that to His cross, taking away all the ordinances that stood against us. That's been declared free. And I thank God He did that. Over and over, we see what God did, from David to Daniel to Samson to Joseph to Abraham to Noah to Moses. We see story after story after story. For the virgin birth, we see it. Poor little Mary, a little young teenage girl, and all of a sudden the angel appears to her and says, you're going to have a child. Can you imagine? What? What do you mean, angel, have a child? What's going on? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to conceive in your womb. And people can't wrap their minds around that, but God can do it. God can penetrate the impossible and make it possible. God can do what this seems can't be done. He does it. And he conceived this by the Spirit, Jesus, in the womb of Mary. He came forth to be our Savior apart from the sin of man and the blood of man and became our sacrifice. God is able to do it. And this story we see, and what I really glean from this story tonight, from this event, is that God is all-sufficient. He is all-sufficient. These people were hungry, and there was nowhere to buy food. They were hungry, and there was nothing to eat. And God took nothing and made something, just like he did this beautiful earth, which people call the Big Bang and call evolution and call all this. God spoke, the Bible says, and the land appeared. God spoke, and the seas appeared. God spoke, and the firmament appeared. God spoke, and the animals appeared. God spoke, and the fowls of the air appeared. And then God spoke, and man became a living soul. God spoke. God did it. God does it. God is all sufficient for whatever you're battling tonight. We're searching for things in all the wrong places. We search for peace in this, joy in this, strength in this, wisdom in this. We're seeking all of these things, and there's one big, great God, King of Kings, who's all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, omnipresent, who has what you need tonight. Trust him. He can do it, whatever you're battling. You may feel like you're limited right now, that there's not enough to get you through what you're battling, but I promise he's enough. You may be wondering, like the story of Lazarus, God, where are you at? I've been praying. You're not showing up. God's not late. God knows the appointed time that you need him to pass by your way. God knows that. God knows exactly the appointed time that's right for you in your season. And when it's your time, God will pass your way. In the meantime, day by day, he gives us what we need. The strength to rise and the strength to lay down in peace. The strength to get through our day, hour by hour. God, you have got me, not just now, but forevermore, you've got me. God is able to do it, and that I trust. This is a faith story that to me is so amazing. And once again, picture this analogy. Ashley's got a bucket of 5 fish here, and she's going around, and they take a fish out or a couple fishes out. I'm sure they all had more than one fish and one little piece of bread because the Bible says they were filled. I mean, it probably was a Golden Corral buffet, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they were filled. You still hungry? Yep, here's more. Here's the great thing about God. He is not limited. He is truly unlimited, has unlimited resources of whatever we need. And I can imagine they pass this bucket by, and the disciples are pulling out bread, more bread. The bread just kept on appearing, and the fish kept on appearing until everybody was satisfied. God will fill you until you're filled and satisfied. He's not going to run out. He's not going to come short. You don't have to worry about, you know, somebody else getting what you need. God's got what you need. I promise. You know, this person don't get all the healing. God ain't out of healing. This person don't get all the bills paid. God cares about each one of you tonight and your individual needs. And he is enough. And God is able to do it. So trust him. Been trusting God during all this different time we're in. And there's a lot of frustration on both sides. A lot of issues on both sides. A lot of opinions on both sides. But I know God's still in control. And I'm trusting him in this process. And I'm believing in him. And I'm leaning on his everlasting arm, as the old song says. And that's what I trust. He can do it. Whatever you need, he's all sufficient. So whatever you're short of, call up on him. Say, Lord, this is what I desire. God, help me put into my life what I need in my life to fill me. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger. They shall be filled. He said that. And if you're hungry, God will fill you. I promise. You're seeking something from him, he will not let you down. He's got what you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. So trust that and seek that. I want to say something tonight. That's a little bit short of my message tonight, but I'm just kind of done. So we're just going to wrap it up tonight. There's been a lot of people that have been calling me the last couple of weeks asking, can they come to church? And
it's you know, I know it's respectful, and I appreciate that. And I just want to let everybody know, absolutely, you don't have to call and ask me to come to church. We will put you somewhere if you want to be here at church. We don't know what's going to happen going on forward, but I just want you to know this: you are adults that are watching. It is your decision, your choice, what you want to do. And we have in this sanctuary 50 seats right now, and they're spread out about 4 to 5 feet apart. Nobody can touch. Nobody's touching nobody unless you're a couple and want to touch each other and be close to each other. But we have 50 seats in this sanctuary. I've got 10 more down the hallway right now. And so I just want you to know, church, I'm not pushing nothing. I'm just saying people are calling and texting me. I've said from the last several weeks, the doors are unlocked if you want to be here. And we're here. And some may agree with that. Some may not agree. And I'm at a point that I'm going to follow God on this and do what's right. We do care. That's why we got the seats separated. We're sanitizing things after every service. I'm going personally with Lysol and sanitizing things after every service. And I understand a lot of people don't want physical contact. I'm not offering that unless you want it. If you reach out to shake my hand, I'm going to shake your hand. But if you don't, I'm not. I promise. I'm being respectful of that right now. But I just want you to know that we are here. We had a few more come last Sunday that hadn't been here before. It's good to see them. Got a couple here tonight. It's not been here in a while. It's good to see them. And you know, we are we're here now. Supposedly in phase two, which is May 22nd, I believe. In the governor's suggested guidelines, and that's what it is. It's more suggested guidelines. We can have 50 people inside the church. We'll still have our seats separated for a while to be respectful to those that are nervous or afraid, because we do want to honor that. But I just want you to know, the pastor here, we are here, and you know, you're an adult, and you got to make a decision. Do you feel safe? Then come. If you don't, there's no hard feelings, I promise. I know it's a difficult time, and I know what we're hearing every day on the news, and it's scaring a lot of people. But just want you to know that. So we may try to. I've got to get with Bill if he's ready. May try to kick off our Sunday school again, adult Sunday school, in a couple of weeks when it opens up a little bit more to 50 people, and may try to open our Sunday school back up on Sunday mornings as well. So, that's all I've got as far as Gump says. That's all I've got to say about that. So I just want everybody aware. I do care, and I do love you, and Melanie will know. I've been talking about this. I've been driving her crazy the past 8 weeks. I know I have, because I've been trying to make the right decisions and do it the right way without compromising what I feel in my heart is right. I know some are against it, and that's fine. People are against. I know any given Sunday, there's people that don't agree with me. That's fine. I've got to follow God. The Lord raised this church up. The Lord raised me up, and I'm just trying to use wisdom. And I want you to know that I'm very sensitive to the situation of people, and I'm very respectful of that. But I'm not going to live in fear, and I'm not going to keep things locked down forever. And I'm going to trust the Lord in this. So, those of you that are watching, we are here. If you want to be here, if you want to wait a while, that is fine too. I understand that. Things will open up in a couple of weeks, and then another month. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure about phase three, what even that is. But I just know it opens up again May 22nd a little bit more. So, but I do praise the ones that have been coming and keeping things going. I've been very happy that we've been able to stay open and keep things moving forward. I think it's made a difference for the ones that have been able to be here and to give each of you the most normal experience we can with the singing, the worship, the being in the sanctuary. And I love each of you and miss all of you so much. And I just want you to pray about what you need to do. I don't want you to worry about me as far as getting me in trouble. I'm not concerned about me, to be honest. I'm really not. I want you to make your own decision, what God's leading you to do. And I truly mean that. So anyway, with that said, anybody got anything to say before we close out? Anybody? Everybody good? I have to say, this is our biggest Wednesday night crowd we've had. We got 9 people. Woo! So I appreciate that. But let's close out in prayer. Father, as we come to the end of this service, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you can do it. I thank you that you're watching over us. I thank you, God, that I can trust you more than I can trust anything else I hear or see. God, you are the truth. And I trust you and I believe you, God. And I just thank you that you have watched over us during this time. I thank you have provided for us during this time. I pray for the ones right now that have been affected by this in some way, especially maybe financially, that they have that they've been affected, that God, you, from your kingdom, from your resources, that you supernaturally provide for them and you bring into their hands what they need right now during this season, because you're God and you've got it, Lord, and you've got plenty to spare because you own it all. And I pray that you continue to bless and keep and protect and meet the needs of our people of this church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Do you have the giving link on there tonight?